Remix. Rewind.
This is the remix.
No, this is the rewind.
What is up, y'all? It is the one and only Jasmine J.
And it's your girl, Jada Kalise.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Jay Levine.
And this is
Remix and Rewind.
And if you're new here, this is the place where we introduce you to new music, artists, theories, and ways to connect your real life to the music you listen to. On this episode, we're diving into the downfall of Nicki Minaj, from her complicated personal life and high-profile feuds with other female artists to her recent controversial turn towards MAGA. But before we get into any of that, we have to start where it all began and remember just how influential Nicki was. At her peak, Nicki Minaj wasn't just a rapper. She was a cultural force. She shattered records, dominated pop charts, and built a legacy for female rappers that reshaped what it meant to be a successful woman in hip-hop. For years, she stood almost untouchable at the top of the game. From there, we're going to track the downfall of Onika Tanya Mirage. We're going to unpack how one of rap's greatest icons went from the most celebrated to polarizing. But before we get into any of that, we have to start where it all began and remember just how monumental Nicki really was.
Nicki Minaj wasn't just a rapper. She was a cultural force. She broke records, dominated the charts, and for years she basically ran female rap. Songs like Super Bass, one of my faves, Starships, and Anaconda were literally everywhere, and I mean everywhere. She became the first female solo artist to have 7 songs on the Billboard Hot 100 at the same time and racked up countless top 10 hits and was all over radio and streaming. And even with all that, she's had over 12 Grammy nominations but no wins, which kind of really shows how complicated her relationship with the industry has been, and I understand her frustration there. But for a long time, she really was untouchable and one of the only female rappers if not we, were worried about. And that's the level of dominance we need to remember before we get into everything that came after. Now, with everything that came after, that includes her long-running feuds with other female artists and turning competition into very public conflict, which raises questions about power, rivalry, and unity among women in rap.
I feel like throughout Nicki's career, she's been really like headstrong on just beefing with every woman to ever exist in the industry. We have a list of all the beefs that, this might not even be all of them. Like
this might not even be all of them, y'all.
This might just be a small bit, but Cardi, Meg, Remy Ma, SZA, Lotto, Ice Spice, Miley Cyrus, Mariah Carey. Now, Queen, why are you beefing with Miley Cyrus
and Mariah Carey?
Let's talk about SZA though. Like, why are you beefing with SZA? Like, she's not even in your genre
at all.
Neither is Mariah Carey. And who else? Miley Cyrus wasn't in your genre either. So where are you finding the time and where are you finding the issues to have these beef?
And also, let's really talk about the fact that even the people that we named that are in her industry and in her genre came in the game saying, "I mess with Nicki."
Right.
Praising her.
I grew up on Nicki. Nicki is my girl. But as soon as they get out of that and they stop bringing you up in every interview, or they become their own thing and have their own blueprint and have their own fame, now they all hate you.
And that's where the question rises, is like, how long are these women supposed to praise you
every single time
throughout their own career? They have their own careers going on. They're becoming influential in their own ways, and you still expect to be at the top of that?
Yeah, you want to be at the forefront of every other female rapper's mind every time. And that's not how that works. Like, for me, it just really reminds me of the beef that she had with Lil' Kim coming into the game when she was the new girl. Because from the mid-90s to like the early 2000s, Lil' Kim was the girl.
She was.
Like, Lil' Kim was the only female rapper anybody cared about. Lil' Kim had crossover appeal. Lil' Kim had men listening to her. Lil' Kim was that girl. She was on every song. Like, Lil' Kim was that girl. She was the older generation's version of our Nicki Minaj. So when Nicki came in the game in the mid to late 2000s, it was like, okay, Nicki came in. She was like, Lil' Kim, I mess with Lil' Kim. We both from New York. You know, she's T. But Lil' Kim felt like Nicki didn't give her the praise and the acknowledgement that she felt like she deserved. And also the industry was really positioning Nicki to take Lil' Kim's place. Mm-hmm. And Lil' Kim ain't like that. She was like, you can't take my place. I'm the queen bee. You can't take my place. And Nicki was like, girl, you old and bitter and move out the way because a new girl is in town.
Now Nicki the old and bitter.
Now Nicki is the old and bitter girl. And when the new girls come in, especially Cardi, like, I think that's why
the beef for her
is the strongest, because she was the first one to really come in, grab that Grammy, get a number one, really get the endorsements, get the money. Like, Cardi B was everywhere. Her like, she's still everywhere, but like those first 3 years of her career,
that
from
debut?
2016 to 2019, Cardi B was everywhere.
Invasion of privacy?
Invasion of privacy. Like, you could not go anywhere without, to this day, you still can't go to like a store or listen to a commercial without a Cardi B song in the back, low key.
She said, I'm the hottest in the streets. And she was.
And she was.
She was. Yeah. And Nicki was just so, so mad about that.
It's actually crazy because Nicki originally congratulated Cardi B on getting the number one for Bodak Yellow. So it's confusing to why, like, it's like she wants to see people do well until she feel like they start doing better than her. Like, it's like a weird little jealousy. And also, she always perceives people throwing jabs at her. Like, every little thing she thinks is a jab. And it's like, she's you're paranoid. Delusional. You're paranoid.
Mm-hmm. She's very paranoid. Like,
but I also think that comes from her fans. Fans play a very strong role in how artists see each other.
Yeah.
Especially hers. They will sit here and they'll go in her comments or comment on her Twitter and be like, oh, this, they said this and this. She gonna believe the first thing she see.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let me talk about you now.
Someone could literally like rap about coffee and how they really like black coffee. And let's say she said she liked a latte the other day and Nicki will get on there and say, no, that was a diss and drop a diss track. It's like, girl, she wasn't even talking about you. Like, it's like delusional at this point. Like, it gets to a point.
You can't even say Nick Nat Patty Whack without she think you coming at her. She's like, you said Nick? What? Excuse me? Did you call Young Nick? Like, hold
no,
on.
No, wait, why did you low-key have the accent, though? Like, why you low-key have the accent, though?
It's just so frustrating to me. And those are like, okay, Cardi, Remy, like, okay, those are some of her earlier beefs when she really started beefing. But like later on, when it came to like the Ice Spices and the Megs,
the
it's
Meg.
Like she took those Lotto. It's like she took those girls under her wing.
But I'm not gonna
and
lie.
Wanted to be a mentor. But then, like you said, whenever they got their own shine, she like pushed them so far out the way.
Yeah,
Megan hurt me. Like her and Megan falling out low key hurt me. Like I know that's crazy to say, but that was like a little duel that I was low key parasocial about. That hurt me. Because it came out of nowhere. And to see how far that it got for you to make a diss track about her and bring up her deceased mother and to make up these things.
And the diss track flopped.
Yeah, and to see how far that it came, it's very disheartening.
And it's crazy because Megan actually stated, and I quote, I feel like women, we really do know how to coexist and we really do know how to not be catty. So despite popular internet opinion, that's really not the case. In reference to Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
And then Nicki gonna start being catty and doing all these
like,
things.
Like people will clear up how they have no issue with her. Yeah. And then here she'll go. Here she go. The jabs on Twitter. The Twitter fingers. Just like her ex. Like, come on, bruh. Yeah.
I also want to, when we talk about these beefs, 9 times out of 10, it's women. Like, yeah. I know she has really strong beef with Meek Mill, but they were in a relationship, and I just count that differently. Mm-hmm. Or it just seems like if she has a beef with a male, like, they can reconcile. I have noticed that she has a pattern of being male-centered in a way.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, a man is a man, but a woman, she can't disrespect me. Like, a woman can't have one up on me. A woman can't do what I do. Because, and I think it's because for almost 10 years, she was the only female rapper in the game.
Yeah.
So she's used to being in a room full of men and being the pretty girl or in a group full of men. I don't think that she can really handle when there's another pretty girl or another talented girl in the room and all the men ain't worried about her or revering her as the woman in the room.
I understand that too. But I also think it's a thing where like when you are in an environment where it's solely men and you're the only woman, it's kind of easy to let their comments roll off on your back for a while. So when a woman comes into the picture is very different. Like, you don't know how to address it. You don't know how to navigate it. And it's like, dang, what she just said to me?
And men are very messy.
They
men are. Men want to see a cat fight.
They are.
So they're going to egg it on. They're not going to be like, hey, y'all girls, y'all need to stay together as women. A man don't care about that. A man going to be like, she said this about you and mm-hmm. what you going to do about it because you don't want to be no punk.
I also think that Nicki doesn't realize how the industry is changing. Like, she's not moving with the industry. Right now, female rap is on top. Like, I feel like it's really doing well.
And collabs are on top.
Collabs are on top. So when you're beefing with people that would really be a good way for you to make money and success, it's actually kind of crazy because like people she's beefing with are people who are doing well. Meg was doing well, is doing well. Like you beefing
even
her
Ice Spice.
Make sense. Yeah.
Ice Spice got you on that Barbie soundtrack. They just wanted Ice Spice and Spice said, okay, nah, if it's gonna be a Barbie song, Barbie gotta be on it. And then you start beefing with her because it wasn't in the way that you wanted it.
Yeah.
And we had a whole episode about how I don't really mess with Ice Spice like that as an artist. But even still, if she got the clout, she got the deal, she getting the money.
And she put you on.
And she tried to, you know, and it's not even like she put you on, like, you know, in any other way other than get
that
some
soundtrack.
Money with me. But like, girl, everything is not about you. This was really like her thing and she included you and you still weren't. You want her to be so grateful to you. Why can't it be mutual greatness? Why does everybody have to bow down to you in every aspect of life?
Yeah.
And do you know how well a mixtape with all female rappers would do, coming off of Nicki, do you know how well that would do?
It would.
To have Megan, Lotto, shoot, Flo Milli, Dolce, like
Glorilla.
Do you know Glorilla. How insane?
Even like a Cash Doll,
that would be insane. People are looking, they're looking for unity in the female rap community, and it's like we do have it in some aspects, and then there's Nicki.
And I also and feel like Nicki. She's created the landscape for the collaboration and for the unity to not be long lasting.
Yeah.
If you're going to be this pioneer in female rap in this century, the last, 25 years, you are the greatest rapper and you were the only rapper. You're setting the blueprint. These girls come into the game looking to you for what did Nicki do? How did Nicki get on? And then let me make it my own. So if you've created a landscape of disdain, nastiness, jealousy, bitterness, beef, then they have no choice but to follow suit because that's all they know when it comes to female rap.
But low-key, I feel like since the industry, like I said early, is changing, she's just getting left behind. Like, you beefing with everyone isn't going to help you dominate. It's going to have you left behind.
Of course.
And people, that's what I feel like she's not understanding. Like, you're going to get left. Like, this ain't where it's like everyone's just beefing with you. I mean, obviously people beef in female rap, but it's like you continually beefing with everyone, it's just isolating yourself. It will never benefit you. And because you came from a time where maybe being the one and the only was what it was, it's not the same anymore. You're gonna be left.
And I also think with the new like rap beef that we have as well, like I know Megan and Glorilla are kind of on the outs as well, it's mm-hmm. not as publicized. You don't see Megan or Glorilla coming on here on Twitter talking about some, just throwing jabs and shade and stuff. You don't see them doing that. Nicki, on the other hand, and you're older than these girls.
Yeah,
you're older than these girls. You've been in the industry longer than these girls, and it's very embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. Do you know how light she would be if people could call on her and be like, okay, I don't know how to navigate this, but I know somebody who can. Let me call Nicki up.
Yeah.
Do you know how light she would be? Why can't you be a mentor for these girls?
I'm on tour. Let me bring Nicki out. I'm at this award show. Let me bring Nicki out. Okay, two things. Because she's so male-centered, I want to compare her to her male counterparts. When men beef, they don't beef with every other man. They got they one or two homeboys in the industry that they gonna keep doing songs with. When Drake and Kendrick fell out, they still had other artists that they was collaborating with, even though they were no longer working together. Okay, cool. Other thing, the older men are always going to reach out to the younger men in the game and try to get some clout off of them.
Yes.
They gonna clear a sample. They gonna get on a song. The main thing that's coming to my mind is like when Busta Rhymes was on that Chris Brown song.
Or like, Me Now?
Yeah, or like how Usher is always collaborating with like younger artists, or even how Babyface did a whole album with younger R&B artists. Get your name out there with the new audience,
right?
Because the Barb's gonna get old one day and they're not gonna be streaming music like that.
Exactly.
You gotta continue to build your fan base, and if you keep beefing with the girls who are the new target audience for what you used to be, you're good, like you said, isolate yourself. And I feel like if she wanna be so male-centered, maybe you should take a page out of the boys' book.
Yeah.
If that's the only book you want to read.
I agree. But I also think that like in more recent years, her story has shifted from success to scandal as far as her personal life. And I feel like that starts with her husband, who she's married to, she's laying
with. Let's talk about male-centered.
Yeah.
About male-centered, because she's married to Kenneth Petty, who has so many allegations, so many charges. He is a registered sex offender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is.
Yeah.
He was convicted of first degree attempted rape in 1995. And that's your man. Like,
and when the lady tried to come out and speak against it, y'all silenced her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's very scary that you're going to these lengths to defend this relationship and you don't want to foster any female relationships. That is crazy to me. And it just goes to show that her character, aside from her artistry, her character isn't good. It isn't well.
And even going back to the beef, her beef with Megan started because she thought she was dissing the fact that she was with that man. You're going so hard behind this man and you're literally going to like ruin your whole career over this man.
Yeah. Megan's Law could have been about anybody.
Exactly.
Nah, I'm not going to lie. It was about Nicki, but
I think it might have been about Drake.
I ain't gonna lie. I think it was about Nicki, but I think that was her retaliating, saying, I'm tired of this.
That's real.
That's my personal opinion. It could have been about Drake, but I don't know. I also want to say, like, she's been in such defense of her brother,
mm-hmm.
who was being convicted of sexual assault and child endangerment, and she goes so hard for him, and a lot of things that she do are motivated by protecting him or supporting him. So I'm not surprised that she goes so hard for her husband, because even the people in her family, she doesn't doesn't hold accountable in any way.
Accountable. Accountability, that's a big
word. I'm gagged.
She doesn't have it for herself, so how can you hold anybody else accountable?
That's a big word for Nicki Minaj.
That's a huge word for her.
And especially with a fan base, in my mind, that is so chronically online, you would think you'd be more aware of the fact that your personal life, especially now, has a huge impact on the way people perceive you, how people are willing to listen to your music. Like, to be defending not one, but two predators and thinking that that's just like, oh, people did look past. I'm not going to lie, because obviously, like, the Barbs, they're very, like, what can I say? They're very...
It's a special bunch.
Ignorant. Yeah, it's a very unique bunch.
Very ignorant. They love being ignorant. They love almost worshiping her, and she can do no wrong in their eyes, and whatever she does, they go along with it.
I do want to touch on the Barbs after it's you almost finish like a your cult. Point. After you finish your point, I definitely want to touch on the Barbs.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because I remember being, like, on social media. I don't know if it was, like, 2020, but, like, it was around that time, and the Barbs thing was, like, real big. I don't know if y'all remember. People had, like, Nicki as their profile. So for her to go from that, and that was amidst these Predator things, so to go from that to now, girl, the fact that people even were standing behind you then was crazy.
Mm-hmm. And even though there are still a good amount of them still standing behind her on Twitter, because that's, like, her biggest platform.
Yeah.
There's a good amount of them still standing with her on Twitter. There is definitely fewer than before. Definitely fewer than before. But what I wanted to say about the Barbs is she doesn't hold her own fans accountable. She doesn't hold her man accountable. She doesn't hold her brother accountable. Can't hold herself accountable. But it's really these fans. I get it. You can't tell people what to do.
Yeah.
You can't. But I do think that there's a line. There has to be a line that has to be drawn. Because with the Megan beef and them saying that they were going to find where her mother was laid and buried and go to the grave site and do this and this and this, that's insane. And you're encouraging it. You're actually encouraging it. You're entertaining it. And I think that's absolutely insane to me.
But you have to remember that this is not new behavior for them. I remember when we were in middle school and high school, grown men were fighting because they said, I like Cardi better than Nicki, and you wanted to ruin these people's life and bring them physical harm. When Cardi B had her first child, her child was brought into the world with death threats.
Yeah.
By Barbs. By, like I said, grown men.
And at the end of the day, it don't matter that much. Like, when you really, like,
these people don't know you.
They don't know you. Like,
you're bringing internet beef and stan culture into real life.
Yes.
Do you not have a job?
They don't.
Like, I never understood that. And I never understood why she enables it and encourages it so much. Like, one thing that the Barbs hold on so tight to is when Nicki said, Barbs, stay in school. Barbs, get a job. Barbs, have your own life. Like,
the
please.
Barbs did not get a job, I fear.
It's okay to love somebody. It's okay. Well, you know, I don't know if it's really okay to idolize an artist in that way, but if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. But at the end of the day, you're your own person. You have your own thoughts and feelings and life experiences, and maybe that should come before a rapper that you really like.
I also think that your fans, certain fan bases are attracted to the person. So if you have a general hating persona, you're gonna get some hating fans. Like, I feel like when you
it's the culture she creates.
She created this culture, and so it's like, obviously parasocial behavior is weird, and I think idolizing celebrities in general is weird. But it's like, you can't even, like, be surprised, because, like, look at the way she behaves, and the fact that she even thinks the thing she is doing is okay is because her fans are like, yes, queen, you're eating. Like, no, like, you need to, like you said, move to real life. This is reality. In reality, you look crazy. If anybody else saw this outside of your little fan base, they would look at you and say, what are you doing?
And it's like, we do. Twitter does. Like, I remember when she was beefing with SZA, my timeline, I don't follow no Barbs. My timeline was full of, even my, like, For You side of Twitter, it was full of, you don't get tired of this? You too old. You too grown.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Like, it gets to a point. It gets to a point, and I just wonder if she ever sits and thinks to herself, dang, I regret doing this, but I'm pretty sure she don't.
I don't think she does.
I'm pretty sure she don't.
I just feel like she's created such a lifestyle out of misery and negativity and materialism that there's not much of substance and not any real human emotions and feelings that she really forefronts. She really puts on the same platform or pedestal, like being a good person and doing things because it's the right way to do them, and being emotional and being centered with oneself is not anything that she promotes anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it goes back to what Jasmine said earlier about, like, that is what she attracts. She doesn't put out anything positive. She doesn't put out anything like even health or wellness. She doesn't put out anything, you know, to really better the people that she has influence over or even try to better herself. So I think that she is at the forefront and she creates and enables this negative cycle and spiral and amalgamation of just nastiness.
And speaking of putting out things, I don't remember the last time she put out an album. Was it 2024? I think it might have been 2024. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm continuing with my statement. I think the last time she released an album was probably 2024. What was that, Pink Friday 2?
Yes, it was 2023.
2023? Okay, cool. That was the last time she released a project, and I feel like even then, her scandals, her online persona outweighed the album. And I think it's going to continue to be that way if she decides to drop any more music. Her personal life, her online persona, her scandals, they are all going to outweigh her job, which is to be a rapper. It's going to continue to outweigh that. And I want to talk about her embrace of
MAGA.
This is the craziest. I'm not going to lie.
This is the crux of the issue, and this is really what sparked this conversation within us at Remix and Rewind, because we're like, wow, this was like the final straw. Like, this is like, okay, wow, like Nikki is really on a downward spiral. She's really like falling. And I really want to talk about like her embrace of MAGA rhetoric. Like, Nikki has entered a new phase that has alienated many fans and complicated her legacy even further. And it really just comes because of her endorsement of, you know, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, which is so interesting because I'm reading an article from the Gazelle. And it talks about how in 2018, she condemned Trump's first presidency administration when it came to separating families, deporting people, you know, him trying to build that wall, you know, that all that whole thing that was going on. She condemned it. In 2018, she said during his first presidency that he was separating families at the border and she felt like it was nasty. And, you know, she was born an immigrant. She was born in Trinidad and Tobago, and she didn't move into the United States until she was 5. So she doesn't have solid U.S. citizenship. So it was really something that really like touched her during his first presidency, and now to turn around to try and get that citizenship and try to stay in America, I think for her and her family's sake, she is being so out and proud about her support for Trump and being with Turning Point USA, which is Charlie Kirk's wife's foundation for him. It's just really interesting to me. And I also wanted to touch on how this has brought out a very nasty side of herself and very hypocritical side of herself when it comes to the barbs. She has had so many homophobic remarks in the past 2 months that it actually astonishes me. She has called Don Lemon so many nasty like slurs publicly. She was doing an interview and they said, "Do you have anything to say to Don Lemon?" And she called him a nasty thing that I can't even repeat. Like, it was just so nasty, and she just kept saying it over and over again. She went on her Twitter and called him that over and over again. She went on Turning Point USA and said it's okay for boys to be boys, basically going against trans people and a lot of the feminine men that love her so much.
The majority of her fan base
are men of the LGBTQ plus community. So I think that it's really interesting that you're selling not only yourself, but you're selling your fans out to go so hard behind the president who admitted that he don't even listen to your music, and support Charlie Kirk, who before he passed away said that you are not a good representation to anybody, let alone young black girls.
Yeah, he said she was a bad role model for 18-year-old girls.
And it kills me because it's like, this is very embarrassing on your end.
Yeah.
You may think in the end, like, this is, you may be doing this for, you know, like fun and giggles and whatever reason you're doing this for, whatever publicity you want, but like, all publicity is not good publicity. It's not. So whatever you're doing this for, you're really hurting yourself in the end. And granted, you're still gonna have some type of fan base in the end because your fans are crazy, but you're gonna lose the majority of your fan base. And for me, it's just looking at it as a black woman, I don't think I could ever listen to Nicki Minaj again.
No, literally. Like,
I don't know. Like, I know that's a stretch, and people always say to separate the artist from the art and this, that, and the third, but I can't. It's very embarrassing and it's very contradicting.
I think for me, I am definitely a proponent of separating the artist from the art, but it gets to a point. So I think any new music that she puts out, I won't be a fan of, but the music that I've been loving for years, it's the music, and it honestly goes beyond her. So I'm just gonna be honest about that, because I grew up, you know, we all did grow up on Nicki. Like, we were just talking about, okay, what are some songs that are iconic? Separating the artist from the art is really different, because that just, some of her music takes me back to a place when I was growing up where I just felt very free. And I think that's what hurts me even more, is that like, now she's trying to take that freedom away from other people, or she's supporting people who want to take that freedom away. Like, looking at this picture right now of her at the U.S. Treasury Department holding Trump's hand, so happy, and purporting that she is his number one fan and he's just such an amazing president and he's just such an amazing man. Once again, supporting and defending predators, saying that that she felt like she had to speak out because she felt like too many U.S. citizens were bullying him. It's just crazy to me.
A bully calling other people bullies.
A bully calling other people bullies while supporting a big bully.
The biggest bully on earth. And a big predator. Let's not forget he is named in these Epstein files many times.
How could we forget?
We can't forget.
I also think the thing with Nikki too is she literally...
The predator count is at 3 now. I just want everybody to know.
When it comes to you talking, because when you were talking about separating the art from the artist, I feel like I definitely can separate art from the artist, but when the artist is so annoying and so like despicable, it's so hard. The other day I heard a little Nicki Minaj song and I was like, ooh. And then I was like, no, I can't even bop to this because I'm thinking about all the things you've done. And especially now, the slurs, it's just weird, especially like Jada said, knowing your fan base. For you to listen to your fan base all day long and let them chirp in your ear all day long, but you don't know who your fan base is.
And now when it comes between a personal goal that you have, because I believe all of this is she has a personal goal in this.
Yeah.
The fact that she went out flaunting and posting that Trump gold card, which is supposed to signify citizenship for people who can basically afford it, and she got it for free because of her endorsement of him and her being a celebrity. It shows me that she has an ulterior motive. Like, this is not even genuine. You're selling your soul. You're selling out your people. You're selling out your fans. You're selling yourself and your family out. Where is your integrity? Where are your morals? When are you going to say, as a grown woman in her 40s, I have to stand for something or fall for anything?
Yeah. It's also scary to see that she doesn't really care about how she's perceived.
Mm-mm.
When she's beefing with people, she doesn't care. When she's talking about people's deceased parents, she doesn't care that you look crazy. And to me, like, it's not even just looking crazy, to genuinely be seen as a bad person. And you do not care that you are being seen as a bad person, not because of like some beef you're having, but because your literal actions are like, who has she not offended at this point? Like, I would love to see, like, she offending everybody. She's not even just offending, she's attacking everybody. Especially,
she's not attacking cis white men with privilege.
It kills me because every day when I think about Nicki Minaj, you know what I think?
What?
I be thinking, what does Beyonce think? Like,
no, the way that she be going after Jay-Z, I know what she thinking.
Oh my gosh.
Add Jay-Z to the list of Jay-Z, probably the only black man she really do got everlasting beef with for now, because baby, she done said all type of things about that man. So I know Beyonce hot, and I know Beyonce is regretting them great features they done did together.
Exactly. Like, it's just, I be wondering what be going through Beyonce. I always wonder what Beyonce thinks about everything, to be honest, because she doesn't say much, but I know she got stuff to say. I know she do.
You know she
but
be like, talking mess bad.
Yeah. For this woman that you collaborated with to take any moment that she can to talk about the father of your children, your husband, what do you think about her? Like, it's scary.
It is scary.
Like, her beef with Jay-Z, like, I think that also kind of contributes to a lot of her industry isolation, too.
Yeah.
Jay-Z is a big force in the industry.
He's a billionaire, and she's trying to say that he owe her all this money. He owe you a couple millions.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Like, not saying that it don't happen, but it is hard to believe, and it's hard to trust anything that she has to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like people really do underestimate how much power Jay-Z does have in the industry, and I really do think that her beef with him may contribute to her industry isolation.
I believe
aside it. From, you know, her as a
He's
whole.
He's very respected.
Yeah.
Him and Beyonce are the power couple of all power couples in life.
Yeah.
So 1,000%, you drew your line in the sand with, it was just a bad play, and everything she does is a bad play. And back to what Jasmine was saying earlier, I had a thought, like, she was saying, how are you okay with being perceived as a bad person? She's been perceived as a bad person for over 10 years now. She's been, and it's gotten progressively worse, yes, but it started in 2016.
Yeah.
That's when her first real beef came and we saw a glimpse of how nasty she could be. And we just didn't acknowledge it. And we continued to not acknowledge it until it got to a point where you just couldn't ignore it anymore. And I think that point was different for everyone, but everyone has seemed to have come to the conclusion that, nah, she's tripping.
I also think it's interesting because she's collaborating with women that she could really take some pointers from. When you talked about Beyonce, I automatically think about how much we know about Beyonce versus how much we know about Nicki. Like, collabing with someone like Beyonce, like, this is Beyonce, and you're literally not taking any sort. What did you learn? Even with Ariana Grande, like, I feel like we know a little bit about Ariana Grande, but they not going on Instagram Live chatting and talking. You too big to be doing that. Like, exactly. It's crazy.
Too
like,
big is too old.
This is something that I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, but the industry and celebrity and pop culture is missing glamour.
Yeah.
And a part of glamour, I think now we've replaced glamour with just celebrity, but even a part of celebrity is what makes you different from the average person. It's not just your talent and your wealth. It's your exclusivity.
Yeah.
It's the mystery.
It's the fact that we shouldn't be able to understand anything about you unless you're doing an interview.
Right.
Unless there's a reason behind you coming out to us and telling us your business. She's just giving it out.
She don't know what she's doing.
She don't know what she do. She do know what she's doing. She's embarrassing herself.
Now that I think about it, I feel like a lot of people's down, not even just artists, like any celebrity's downfall be when they become less exclusive. Because like, we don't have nothing to...
We would never know.
Yeah, we don't have nothing to like guess about, wonder about. There's no novelty about you. So it's like, oh, well, she's just some other person. And I'm not going to idolize some random person. So that's how people end up with no fans or a small fan base, because like, I already know too much about you. And with Nicki, I know I didn't ask and I know too much about you.
And that's my thing with her. It's like, when I think about celebrities, I'm always thinking, okay, what's next? What's next for you?
Yeah.
I don't gotta wonder about Nicki. I don't. Because you know what's next? Them Twitter fingers.
Exactly.
Them Twitter posts.
You gonna know what's next.
Alive.
Growing up, I held Nicki in the same esteem as a Beyonce and as a Nicki.
Same.
I mean, as a Rihanna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a
holy trinity. And to just see how from that point they've all pivoted so differently, and it's like Beyonce and Rihanna are billionaires.
Yeah.
They're businesswomen. They're private. To differing degrees, of course, because they're all their own person, but they've shaped out and carved a place for themselves where, like I said, they push people to be better. They use their platform for positivity.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they are business minded. Everything they do, even if you're not going to be a good person, what about them endorsements that you lose every time you get on Twitter and offend someone?
Yeah.
And I will say that with Beyonce and Rihanna, the people that criticize them are simply just, you know, regular, normal people, maybe a couple other, like, you know, influencers and stuff like that. But the people that criticize Nicki, it's some big people.
It's huge names.
It's not just fans. It's not just regular old people like us. And it's not just influencers. There's huge people criticizing her. You look at Beyonce and Rihanna. Beyonce is about to have Act 3 of her album coming out. And then Rihanna, she's a mother.
She in business and family.
Yeah, that's it.
I was finna say, when you say Beyonce, Rihanna, Nicki, Nicki the only one not evolving. Beyonce got hair care. Like, what are we talking about? Rihanna got fancy. Like, you're playing. You're actually, like, you could be making money for real. And you're literally someone, people couldn't even surround themselves. Because to me, if I'm a celebrity and I'm like a Beyonce or Rihanna, I'm not surrounding myself around Nicki.
Of course not. That's a sinking ship. Of course not. That's a sinking ship. Like, there's no way that you would want to be attached to that, knowing what's at stake behind the scenes.
Even as a new female rapper, like, if I was a new female rapper on the rise, I wouldn't mention nothing. I wouldn't be around her, nothing. She just gonna have to beef with me, because guess what? Once you beef with me, I'm up.
No, I'm up.
That has to be, like, new female rapper ritual. That has to be that.
Yeah, it's
for
like
you to be successful, Nicki gotta beef with you.
Literally.
Yeah, like, if you wanna get somewhere in this industry, have a beef with Nicki.
Literally.
And it's like, she be acknowledging that as if that's so tea, but it's actually sad.
It's sad because...
because it's never the new girl starting.
It's always you. They always come out, oh my gosh, I love Nicki. I grew up on Nicki. Like, that's the queen. The queen don't like you.
No, right.
The queen don't like you because you a princess.
Literally.
Literally.
It's so crazy to me. I just don't get it, y'all. Like, I don't think I'll ever understand her. I don't think I'll understand her moves. I don't think I'll understand her political views. I don't think I'll understand her defense of predators. I don't think I'll understand her nastiness towards other women. And I don't think I'll ever understand them tight suits she be wearing.
Bro.
But, you know.
I don't think I ever want to understand that. But you know what I do want to understand? This weekly playlist question.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, the question this week is, what Nicki Minaj song do you think best represents her prime? And no matter the discourse, what's your favorite female collaboration of hers?
So, I'll go first. I think Nicki in her prime, for me, is High School featuring Lil Wayne, y'all. Like, that song is transcendent. When I hear it, I am...
That's one of them ones.
I'm on another planet. Like, and don't let me be outside. And I hear High School.
When are you playing in the club? Oh, my God.
I'm singing the whole song. The entire song and Lil Wayne part. I'm actually singing Lil Wayne's part just a little bit louder so everybody know that I know the man's part. But I'm also screaming to the top of my lungs with Nicki's part. That's why I say I got to separate the artist from the art a little bit, because when that song come on.
Get out the way.
Please move and give me a mic. And then for my favorite female collaboration, when I was going through her collaborations, one thing, one last time to shade her, I've noticed that none of her good collaborations are with other female rappers.
Not.
Yeah. Like, she has no song where it's just her and another female rapper, and they're equally just chewing it.
But wait, no. I low-key, even though, I hate to cut you off.
No, you're good.
But even though Motorsport wasn't planned, Motorsport was good. And that, though that isn't her song.
But it's Migos in there, too.
Right, yeah. Right. But they still went toe-to-toe. I also did like Hot Girl Summer when it came out, too. So okay. I will say that. But other than that, you're right.
You proved me wrong a little bit. But I think it just stands that all of her best female features are with singers.
True.
Just take with that information and do what you will with it. But with all that being said, I'm Out by Ciara featuring Nicki Minaj. Ladies, this your song. So as soon as this come on, you should get out on the floor. Go on and get your sexy on. Yeah. If you know that he better than that new chick, any young, go ahead and tell him now.
You gonna miss me when I'm gone. I'm
out.
That's one of the ones.
That is
too.
One of the ones, like, y'all. And you gotta go watch the music video. It's so tea.
Do.
For me, the Nicki Minaj song that I think best represents her prime is Moment for Life. I'm sorry, that song went platinum in fifth grade. I think I was in like fifth grade when that song came out. And I was definitely listening to it back to back to back. It was also on Pink Friday, which is obviously a legendary album for her.
Yes.
So absolutely love that song. And then my favorite female collaboration of hers will be Side to Side with Ariana Grande. Anytime her and Ariana got on a track, it was so good, and I hate that we'll probably never get that again because of her behavior, but they ate.
And y'all know I'm an Arianator, so Side to Side, definitely certified. For me, I'm gonna say a song that I feel like was her prime or represents her prime, definitely her verse on Monster. I know that's not her song,
yep,
but her verse on Monster.
Iconic.
Like, absolutely iconic. She can never do that again, ever. She can never do that again. And I'm going to say for my favorite female collaboration, you know I had to say Feeling Myself with B. You know I had to say Feeling Myself with B. So those are my two for this week's playlist.
Team.
That's it for today's episode of Remix and Rewind. We talked about how Nicki stands as one of the most influential figures in hip-hop history and whether her behavior has led to the final straw.
We also talked about her feuds with other female rappers, the business and industry tension, and how her recent choices have affected public perception. We want to hear from y'all too. Do you see this as a real fall from grace or just a complicated chapter in a legendary career? Tap in with us on Instagram at Remix, letter N, Rewind, and let us know what you think.
Hopefully we inspired you to take a deeper listen to the music that you already love, or maybe discover some new favorites along the way. And that was Remix and Rewind.
Remix and Rewind is produced in the studio of WANM-FM 90.5 School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.